Good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well today. Today is Thursday, October 1st. We have reached October. Christmas is only a couple months away, and summer is officially behind us, we think, in Texas, so that's good news. Today, we are starting a new Bible study. We are studying the book of Galatians. Galatians, one of the shorter letters written in the New Testament, so we are excited to do that. Galatians is a text that the reason why we're starting it on October 1st is because it was one of Martin Luther's favorite books of the Bible, and this is the Reformation month, so we are going to take a look at Galatians, which is perfect for the month of Reformation. So thank you for joining us. Okay, so before we get into chapter 1, just a little bit of background on Galatians, Galatians has been called the Declaration of Independence for Christian Liberty. So it talks about the freedom of a Christian, which we're going to get to. Martin Luther loved Galatians so much that he referred to it as Catherine von Bora because he said, "I am married to it. I love Galatians so much, I'm married to it." So Luther really liked Galatians. And as we go through, I'm going to have quotes from Luther on some of these things, some of the texts, some of the verses. So also, scholars believe, just a little bit of background for those who are interested, scholars believe that Galatians was written in the late 40s or early 50s. So an approximate date of 50 AD is often given for it. It seems that Paul wrote this letter before the Jerusalem Council that is mentioned in Acts chapter 15 because he doesn't mention it. So we figure that if it was after the Jerusalem Council of Acts 15, that he probably would mention it, but he doesn't, so we think it's before. So there's a little bit of background on Galatians. So today we're going to do chapter 1. Next Tuesday, we'll do chapter 2. Next Thursday, we'll do chapter 3, and so on, and we will do the entire book of Galatians. So we will do it together. So thank you so much again for joining us. So we are going to start with verses 1 and 2 of Galatians chapter 1. Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia." So Paul starts with basically his credentials, his resume, saying, "I am an apostle. I'm an apostle that was sent not by a man, but by God." And so that's important that Paul understands that, understand that what he's about to write, he's writing with the authority of an apostle. And so it's really important. It was really important to Luther to understand this. So what Luther wrote on this, Luther wrote, "When I was a young man, I thought Paul was making too much of his call. I did not understand his purpose. I did not then realize the importance of the ministry. We exalt our calling not to gain glory among men or money or satisfaction or favor, but because people need to be assured that the words we speak are the words of God." And so Paul starts by saying he is an apostle so that those who read know that the words that he writes are the words of God. This is one thing that I think pastors struggle a lot with. Pastors hopefully believe that the words they say are the words of God, right? The words of God. However, not everyone in a congregation believes that the words the pastor is speaking or the words that come from the church are the words of God, which I find really, really interesting. So side note here, I have heard from several people that pastors should not talk politics, right? And that's something that I don't talk politics very much and people don't want me to talk politics very much. And that's okay. But what I don't understand is why people don't want their pastors to talk politics. Something that's always befuddled me. Don't you want to know what God thinks? Or do you not believe that your pastor speaks the words of God? I don't understand that. Now, I basically read the Bible daily for the last 15 years, if not longer. I study it as part of my job. I have a pretty good idea, I think, of what God would say, and yet nobody wants to know what a pastor has to say when it comes to politics. And I don't understand that. Not only that, I have a degree in political science, and I worked on a campaign when I was in college. I was the deputy press secretary. I have a unique ability to talk politics in ways that very few people can, and yet nobody wants to know what I think. I find that interesting. Do they not think, so I wonder why, right? Do they think that the words of God are going to be opposite to what they believe? Is that what they, and so they just don't want to be challenged? Or do they only want to hear what the pastor has to say if the pastor agrees with them, as Dee just said? I don't really understand. And so if the pastor says something and you don't agree with it, if you don't agree with it, then who's wrong? What would Jesus want you to do? And so the question that everyone has to answer is, what do I respect as the authority in my life? What do I respect? Is it the political agenda? Is it the Bible? Is it what God has to say? One of the things that I learned on sabbatical, I was talking to somebody about this, and he said, well, if people don't want you to talk politics, that's fine. Don't. Just quote Jesus. Let Jesus say what Jesus has to say. And if people have a problem with it, they have a problem with Jesus, not you, which is an interesting way to handle it. But, I just don't understand, but that's okay. My job isn't to talk politics. My job isn't to talk. It's to proclaim the gospel. And if people want to talk politics, I am open to that. I am happy to have that conversation. And I think everyone who wants to talk politics with me would be surprised about what I have to say, because there's a lot going on right now that there's a lot on both sides that I think God would have something to say about. God would definitely have something to say about the debate that just happened. God would have a lot to say about it. I am fairly confident of that. But if you want to know what I think, send me a message and we can talk. Lots of times when people want to know what I think, I understand that as people say, this is what I think and I want you to agree with me. I want you to tell me why I'm right. And I'm not interested in that. But if you really want to know what I think, I'd love to have those conversations. I hear some of you saying you'd like to talk about it. I'm happy to do that. We can absolutely talk about it. I'm not going to do that in a public forum, but I'd love to have that conversation with you. I just don't want people to, I mean, people just take words and run with them. And it's amazing. I was having a conversation with somebody about politics. I was watching two people have a conversation about politics, and one person said one thing and the other person said, so it was about, I think I said this in a different Bible study. I think it was one of the Tuesday nights, but someone said, well, I don't like how Donald Trump said that military people are losers and suckers. Right. And the other person said, oh, so you're for late term abortions, and it's like, or partial birth abortions. And it's like, how is it logical to connect those two things? That just doesn't make sense to me. But it is what it is. So, good morning, Claudia. I would love to have those conversations. If you want to have them, send me a message and we can get together. We can Zoom, maybe however we want to do it, but we can do it. But, I don't think I want to do it on Facebook Live. So, interesting, says to the churches in Galatia, Paul is writing this not just to one church, but to many churches, all the churches in Galatia, which is a region, it's not a city. And so there's several churches that Paul is writing this to. So I don't know if he just wrote one copy and it just made its way around, or if he wrote many copies and sent them to each church. But so this is Paul claiming his apostleship, claiming his authority, saying, hey, these words that I'm going to say, these words in this letter are the words of God, and then writes them to several different churches. So then verse 3, he says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul starts off 5 of his letters this way. Grace is always first, peace is always second. Grace and peace to you. What a great way to start a letter. Paul uses the word grace 100 times in his writings in the New Testament. 100 times. For Paul, it was so important. It was so important that he wished the person who was reading his letter grace, or that was listening to his letter grace. Among all the other writers in the New Testament, grace is only used 55 times. So for Paul, grace is more important to Paul than anyone else, theologically, any of the other authors in the New Testament. Martin Luther says these two terms, grace and peace, constitute Christianity. This is what the Christian life is made of, is grace and peace. What are we doing in life to experience grace and to experience peace? How can we look for places in life where we find grace and find peace? It's hard to find, but it's as people of faith, our faith is in grace and peace. And so what can we do to find grace and peace? Verse 6, we're going to go verses 6 and 7. I am astonished that you, who are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. So the people in Galatia in these churches were turning away from the gospel of grace that Paul proclaimed, and they were turning towards something else. But that other thing they were turning towards wasn't the gospel at all, according to what Paul was saying. So the word gospel literally means good news. Paul is saying there is no good news in this other message. Whatever this other message is, it is not good news. It is bad news, so it really isn't a different form of the gospel. Here's the thing about the gospel. If it doesn't sound like good news, it's not the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ is good news. It is always good news. It may be followed by a challenge. It may be followed by something that comes across as, hey, you know, you should really kind of change your life. You should really change the way you do things. You should really, you know, change your relationships and work towards grace and peace, right? Towards loving one another. But the message of the gospel is the message of saved by grace through faith. And it is good news. It wipes your slate clean. It takes away your sins. And it gives you the promise of eternal life, not because you've done anything to earn it, but because God says, this is a gift that I give you. And so the message of the gospel is good news. And for Paul to say, why would you go away from that? What are you hearing that is causing you to say, well, no, we like the other one better? So let's talk about the other gospel for a minute. The other gospel, because there are other gospels out there, right? There's people who take the true gospel and they change it, or they manipulate it, or distort it. And the scary things about it is they don't start from scratch. They don't make up a new name. They don't make up a new savior. They don't make up anything new. They used names and ideas that are familiar, and they twist the truth, right, to fit their own agenda. They twist it to manipulate others to do things that they want them to do. And that's scary. That's scary. So Paul is saying, reject that and stay to the gospel of truth, the gospel of grace. The thing that I taught you is all you need to know, is basically what Paul is saying to them. So let's continue verses 11 through 12. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So what I taught you was not taught to me by anyone else. It was a revelation from Jesus Christ. So you need to know that the gospel that I proclaim to you, the gospel of grace, is the true gospel, because it's the gospel that is taught to me, revealed to me by God. So that's this big contrast between the gospel that I preach to you and the gospel that you're hearing other people say to you. And so if Paul's gospel, the message of the Bible, really came from God, then it's the most important thing the world has ever heard. It's the most important news the world has ever heard. If we truly believe what Paul has to say is real, then there's nothing the world has ever heard that is more important. But if it's a human invention, then it's dangerous. Then it's the most dangerous thing in the world. This message of grace, this message of giving people hope and then saying, well, you really don't have, if we find out that it's not true and we really don't have hope, then it's dangerous, right? Because it changes the way we live, and it changes the way we treat others and all that stuff. And so, you know, this news that we believe, this news, this gospel, these promises of God, if they truly have come from God, if they have truly been revealed to humanity through God, from God, well, then there's nothing more important. There is absolutely nothing more important than the gospel. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But if not, then we're all in trouble, right? We're all in trouble. What does he say? If it is just for this life, then we of all people are to be most pitied, right? If we got it wrong, we of all people are to be most pitied. But So why is it that we believe? How is it that we believe that the Bible and the message of the Bible, the promises of God, are really true? How do we believe that? How, you know, if someone asks you to defend your faith, to say, why is it that you believe what you believe? How do you answer that? How do you answer that? I think it's important that we all know the answer to that question. I mean, but my answer might be different than your answer, but it's important that we know the answer. And because if we truly believe the good news, the gospel is true, 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 revealed by God, then nothing is more important and everyone needs to hear it. So that's what Paul's saying here. Okay. Verses 15 through 16. here. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. So Paul is saying I was called by his grace, right? I was called by his grace, which is a very important. And his son, Jesus, was revealed to me and revealed then through me to the Gentiles. So called by his grace. So Martin Luther summarizes Paul's idea here as this. This is Martin Luther. It is certain God did not call Paul on account of his blasphemies, persecutions, and oppressions. What prompted God to call Paul was grace alone. Plain and simple. If we look at the history of Paul and the way that he blasphemed and persecuted and oppressed, there is no reason that God would have called Paul. God called Paul by grace alone. And so then that Paul takes it a step further to say, Jesus Christ was revealed to me, says that in verse 12, as the truth, so that I can know the truth, so that I can share the truth, so that Jesus Christ can be revealed through me. Revealed to me, so that Jesus can be revealed through me. God wants us to do more than just reveal to us the truth. God wants to reveal the truth to others through us. And when we look at the life of Paul, we see a perfect example of how Jesus did that, right? How the Holy Spirit worked in Paul's life to reveal the truth to him and then to reveal the truth through him. We see a life of service. We see a life of love where Paul goes around and Jesus is revealed not just to him, but through him. And how important it is that Paul is open to that. That Paul is open to allowing Jesus to be revealed through him so that others can hear the good news and understand the grace of God. So I think we should all, you know, take a look at Paul's example and say, what can I do with my life so that Jesus is revealed not just to me, but through me, and continually to be revealed to others through me. And as Jesus is revealed to others through me, well, then that's, you know, more affirmation for me. And that's, you know, living the life that God has called me to live. So, we will stop there with the lesson for today. We will pick up next Tuesday with Galatians chapter 2. I hope you're enjoying Galatians as much as I am. It's a great letter that Paul writes, and there's so much good theology in here. And I think so much of it that was relevant 2,000 years ago is still relevant today. So I thank you for joining me on this trip through Galatians, and certainly hope that you'll join me next week as well. So we will close with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for this good news that has changed our lives, that you have revealed to us. And Lord, we pray that we would open our hearts and minds to how you plan to reveal your grace and your truth through us so that others' lives may be changed by this good news as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone have a great day. Thanks so much for joining me today, and look forward to being with you all very soon.